I almost said good morning. Have y'all ever had one of those days?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was literally standing here and I almost went, morning.
Well, morning to you.
Okay, well, hey, we'll say it anyway. Morning. Those of you that might be listening to the podcast or the recording of this a little bit later are going to be like, wait a minute. This is Night Chapel. So Jared's a little off today. It's been a little crazy. So welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to be back with you guys tonight. How was the lake? Great, wet, awesome, sweet. I have mixed feelings about Lake Day at Camp Tappawingo. A few years ago, before I was married, when I was single and had hardly any responsibilities, I brought my jet ski out to Lake Day, and all the campers that year were mad because they couldn't ride it. All of the staff members were excited because I let them ride it. And trying to remember who was on it at that time. No, I was going to say Colt. I think it was Courtney Pollard was riding it with somebody, and I was standing down in the water down there where the break wall is, and I'd been standing in the water for probably like hour and a half, like while people were out riding it, and they would come bringing it into me, and they came hauling in there, and I was trying to stop them, and I was trying to get out of the way before they hit me and pinned me between like the jet ski and the wall, and I deflected them, and when I did, my foot slipped on a rock that was down in the water, and like my foot went down in between the rocks, and my toenail went backwards. Yeah, I know y'all are like, oh, thanks, Jared. So I reached down in there and like popped it back into place. So then when I got back onto the jet ski, I realized that they had run it out of gas and I still had to get it to the boat dock. And so a really good friend of mine, and this is really kind of funny, Colt, because I'm using her prayer card as a bookmark, was Mary Glass, who is now Mary Stump, if you all know Mary. She's your mom? Is that what you just said? Okay. Your mom. Okay. So anyway, Mary was riding with me. She'd come in to visit, and she was like, I'll ride back with you. And I was like, okay. So we start going out through there on the jet ski, and there's enough gas, but it's like flashing at me. But I know that there's like a reserve tank that I can get to and get there. But I told Mary, I'm like, that's not a good sign. And she goes, what happens when that stops blinking? And I'm like, we're out of gas. And she goes, then what? And I said, well, I've got an oar, like a collapsible oar. And I said, we'll just like paddle our way back. And she goes, I'm not paddling anything. And I was like, but you have to, like you have to help me. And she goes, uh-uh, you can paddle. So we're riding and all of a sudden the jet ski goes, womp, womp, blah, blah. And like, we're literally just drifting. And Mary punches me in the back and she goes, get the paddle out. She goes, I'm not paddling. And I was like, are you serious? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I'm not. She goes, you have to do all the work. I was like, we're literally like right there. And she goes, nope, I'm not doing it. And I went, fine. And I flipped it around to the reserve tank and fired it back up. And she goes, I thought you said we were out of gas. And I was like, yeah, on that tank, we still got a little bit. We're good to go. And she was like, I'm never riding with you ever again. So, but she was like, I'll never trust you again either, but that's okay. So anyway, so yeah, I have mixed emotions about Lake Day, but I hate I missed it. Like this is the first time I've spoken at camp that I haven't been able to at least drop in out there. So I'm glad Colt stepped in this afternoon and helped out and that the rains held off pretty much all day for you guys. And I hope you all had a blast with it. And the smell of sunscreen is always fun. So you didn't put on sunscreen? Awesome. Those are some of the best days to get burnt, are the cloudy days. So turn in your Bibles to the book of John in the New Testament, the fourth book of the New Testament, if you would. I would appreciate it. And while you guys are turning there, how many of you all remember me mentioning a joke that I needed to tell or that I said I was going to tell? Okay, I'm not going to tell it tonight. I will tell it to you tomorrow morning. There are also a couple of pictures that have to do with some of the lessons that we've done this week, and I will show them to you all in the morning as well. Tonight, trying to be a little bit more serious at night. I know I kind of tell some crazy stories sometimes, but just trying to be a little bit more serious at night, and so I'll hit you guys with some of that funny stuff in the morning. I showed them to Colt back there a little bit earlier, and they were pretty funny. At least we thought they were funny. There was something else I was going to, like, kind of, but I can't remember what it was. So, anyway. Okay, John, book of John, chapter number 9. And this is the only place that this one shows up. And this is one of my absolute favorite accounts in the entire Bible. Dude, love the throwback t-shirt to the superheroes days. I was talking to Jesse about that earlier today. So, talking about our superhero shirts we wore that whole week. So, been here a long time. It's kind of crazy. So, anyway, John chapter number 9. We find Jesus and his disciples, and they are traveling through one of the towns. And here we go, chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. So it's a guy that's been blind since he was born. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's been born blind? So I always like to stop right here because we always like to think of the disciples as kind of like the pinnacle of Christianity because they traveled with Jesus. I mean, like they were right there with him. Those 12, and he looked at them and he goes, hey, with the 12 of you, I'm going to just send out my message to everybody. And we are part of that everybody. And it can all trickle back down to those 12. And we always like to think of them, you know, like I said last night, we kind of like to ridicule them when they do something silly or something. We're like, oh, well, that's kind of obvious. And this is one of the funniest questions to me in all of the Bible. And it's, they walk by this guy and he's standing there, or he's sitting there and he's begging for money and he's just trying to make a living doing that. And the prevailing like thought during that time was that if something was wrong with you, it was because of something you had done or something that your parents had done, and you were kind of reaping the benefits or the consequences of that action. So it's kind of funny that they go, hey, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I kind of imagine that at that moment in time, Jesus thought up the facepalm emoji at that exact moment, because if I was him, I'd have been like, you know, it's like, seriously, you guys have been with me this long and you're going to ask that question. But that was the thought process during that time, was that if something was wrong with you, then you must have done something, or someone that you knew must have done something, and you were suffering the consequences of it. Now, you have to remember, the man is blind. He's not deaf. So he's hearing what's happening. Okay, and he's probably suffered a lot of ridicule. You know, people have probably tripped over him, not paying any attention to him. They probably talked about him. Like, you know, like he suffered a lot. And then here are these guys that he doesn't know who they are. And he hears them call somebody rabbi or teacher. And he's like, great, it's a field trip. It's a bunch of students. And they go, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And if I was that guy, I'd have been like, how would I have sinned before I was born? You know? So Jesus steps in verse 3 and he says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There's a lot of really cool things in that verse, and I'm going to get back to some of them, but here's a really fun one. The man is blind. He's never seen the light of day, quite literally. He's never seen anything. And Jesus is telling him, I'm not coming to work at night. I'm coming to work in the day, and I'm coming to work, and I am the light of the world. I mean, like, he's literally laying it out for this guy. I am the light of the world. and something big is about to happen. But another thing that I want you guys to notice is a word that he keeps using, and it's work. And a lot of times in churches and in our Christian faith, there's a lot of, well, you need to work while the day is going. You need to, like, work. Faith without works. Faith by works. Like, you know, we hear that word a lot. But it's going to come into play here in a second, too, okay? Because what is work? Right. Working. Thank you. Work is working. That is, like, the best answer right there. Work is working. It's laboring. It's toiling. Like, it's jobs, right? Okay? So, like I said, that's going to come back into play here in a second. But having said these things, and I love this part, okay? He, being Jesus, spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Okay? So here's this blind guy, and he's sitting there like he has for days and weeks and months and years. Okay? Just sitting there with his, like, little bowl trying to get some coins and trying to get some money and trying to get some food. And these guys come up and they start discussing him in front of him. And then one of them hawks up a big loogie and spits it into the dirt in front of him. Okay? I don't care if I was blind. I would probably start swinging. Like, just angry because, like, you're disrespecting me by what you're saying and now you're spitting at me. Right? But then look what it says. It says, then he, Jesus, anointed the man's eyes with the mud. So he spit, he's played around in the dirt, and then he's put the mud onto this guy's eyes. And then he says one of the most straightforward things ever. It says, and he said to him, go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed. And it says he came back seeing. I think it's so cool because we're going to go back to the very beginning. I mean, like, literally in the beginning, right? Okay? I want you guys to look at this. In the beginning, most of you all know this verse, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created, right? Okay, so all throughout creation, it's God created. And when you look at it and you read through it, how did God create everything around you? He spoke. It says, he said, let there be this. Let this happen. Let there be these. Let this be here. He spoke everything around us into existence. And then there's one of the most powerful verses in all of the Bible, aside from John 3:16. And it's Genesis 2:7. And I'm going to read it for you. That's why I had Mary's prayer card in there so I could get to that real quick. It says, Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, from the dirt, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I always like to point this part out. God spoke everything into existence, and he could have spoken us into existence. But he didn't. He came down to the earth that he created, and he got his hands in the dirt, and he began to form us. He literally got his hands dirty in creation to create man, to create woman, to create us. And then all these centuries later, right here, leading up to another time where he got his hands dirty by being nailed to a cross so that we can have life eternal. You see, he got personal in creating you, and then he got personal in providing a way for you to live eternally. And so when I like to look at this verse, and we like to, you know, kind of joke around and go, oh, Jesus spat in the dirt and, like, rubbed dirt all over his face. It doesn't say that he did this, but it also doesn't not say that he didn't do it. How many negatives can I throw into a statement? The Bible doesn't say that this happened, and it also doesn't say that it didn't happen, okay? But I like to kind of take this because this is the way my brain likes to work. I like to think that when Jesus spit into the dirt, He did it for a couple of reasons. Number one, we later learn, like deeper into this passage, that this happened on the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, in back in Bible times and with the Jews, you didn't do any kind of work. Like, you were limited on how far you could walk on a Sabbath because it was considered work if you walked too far. And one of the things that you were not allowed to do was knead, not N-E-E-D. It was K-N-E-A-D. Anybody know what that means? Kneading, like when you're kneading dough, when you're kneading bread. Okay, another word that is used for dough in this passage is also translated mud. And so in all honesty, by what Jesus was doing, he was breaking a Sabbath day law by working in this mud. Okay? But here's why he did it. Actually, let me tell you my cool little thing that I like to think that he did. I don't think that he just spit into the dirt, kind of mixed it around and like got it on his fingers and like rubbed it on the guy's eyes. Go back to Genesis 2:7. What did he do? He formed us from the dust of the ground. And I like to think that what he was doing was he kind of got that mud in his hands and just began to like kind of mix it and then began to roll it and got it into a ball and kind of held it there for a second and went, yep, there's the iris, there's the pupil. Yep, looks about right, and popped it in and made the guy a new eye. Like, that's what I like to think. And what he told him to go wash off was just the residue that was left over from where he had it on his hands and he popped it in. You see, Jesus could have spoken and this guy would have been able to see. There's actually another blind guy, blind Bartimaeus, and he was at the temple and he was yelling, you know, that he wanted Jesus to come heal him. And Jesus goes, well, why do you think I can heal you? And he goes, because you're the Son of God. And you can do it. And you don't even have to do anything. You can just speak and it's going to happen. Several times people came up to Jesus and they're like, hey, this is going on. A guy comes to him and goes, hey, my kid is sick and dying. But I know that if you just speak, they'll be healed. Blind Bartimaeus goes, I know that if you just speak, I'll be able to see. And in both those instances, Jesus goes, your faith has made you whole, go. And the Bible tells us that as blind Bartimaeus gets up and takes off, his sight returns to him. And as this guy starts to go back home, he's met by one of his servants and they go, hey, we've been trying to catch up to you. Your daughter died. Your son died. I can't remember. I'm sorry. My brain's not functioning right now, but it's just like your kid died. But then they came back to life and like they became whole again. And he goes, when did it happen? And they told him the exact moment that it happened. And he goes, that was exactly when Jesus said it. Like he could have spoken the very word and said, you can see now. But he got his hands dirty again and gave this guy sight. But you see, I also told you that he did it on the Sabbath and he was kind of rubbing their nose in it a little bit. I hate to put it that way, but that's kind of what it was. Because you see, Jesus came, and Jesus kind of had a way of doing this. He goes, you've always heard it this way, but I'm telling you that now that I'm here, it's more this way. Like the old law is not here anymore. There's a new way of doing it. There's a new law, a new grace. And so all these man-made laws, there were 39, a minimum of 39 laws, of things you could not do on the Sabbath. The religious leaders of the time just kept adding on to it and adding on to it. And it was like, oh, well, you can't knead dough, but you also can't make mud for masonry, or you can't knead this or knead, and like they were adding to it. And it was getting to the point where they themselves couldn't even like uphold all of the laws that they were making up. And Jesus was coming in and going, you've made up all of these laws, and I'm showing you I have power over them. Do you know that they got mad at Jesus for healing the blind guy on the Sabbath? They brought him to the temple. They brought the blind guy to the temple. They got up in his face and they went, are you sure you were blind? He goes, yep, pretty sure. And they go, now you can see? Yep, I can see you looking right at me. And they asked him multiple times, are you sure that you were the same blind guy? And he goes, yes. And they go, go get his parents. They go and find the guy's parents. And they bring his parents in there and they go, is this your son? And they go, well, he looks like him. And they go, what do you mean he looks like him? And they go, well, our son's blind. And they go, well, he says he can see. Like, can he see? And they go, we don't know. Ask him. And they go back and they ask him and they go, can you see? And he goes, yes. And they go, well, who did it? And he goes, all I know is it was Jesus. And they go, where is he? He's like, I don't know. I don't know. He put new eyeballs in me and told me to go wash. And he said, I went and I washed. And he goes, I could see. He goes, I couldn't find it. I don't know where he's at. And then they went back to his parents and they go, well, what do you think about this? And they go, we don't want to have anything to do with it. He's a grown man. He can do his own thing. Because they were so afraid that they were not going to be allowed back in the temple because of all the Sabbath day rules and everything. They did kick the blind guy out of the temple. They didn't allow him in it. And he's standing out on the stairs. And as he's standing out there, Jesus walks up to him. And he goes, hey, what you looking at? Kind of paraphrasing it because I always thought that was just a fun statement. Because this guy's literally taking it all in. Like he's never seen anything. And Jesus walks up to him and he goes, hey, kind of had a busy day. And he goes, yeah. He goes, man, he goes, if I could just find the guy who did this. And Jesus goes, you're with him. And the guy's like, man, I want to worship you. I want to follow you. And Jesus goes, just go and tell people like what happened. He was telling this guy, he goes, go tell them that something big is coming. Something's changing. And what that something was what we've sang about tonight. And it was because just a short time later, Jesus was going to be captured. He was going to be put on trial. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be beaten beyond all human recognition. Do you understand that the beating that Jesus took for us had killed the majority of people that had undergone that type of beating? And Jesus came out of that and still carried his own cross. Because it wasn't his purpose to die at a beating, and it wasn't his purpose to die on the way to the cross. It was his purpose was to die on the cross. And I think one of the most humbling things, and we've talked about this a couple of times already this week, one of the big questions that we've always asked is, are you afraid of what God is calling you to do? Do you understand that Jesus was afraid of what he was called to do? Like in the garden, the night before all this happened to him, he's sitting there and he's praying, God, if there's another way, like let this pass from me and let's do it some other way. If there's no other way to do it. And God goes, no, you are the reason. You are the way. And Jesus goes, okay. And he literally humbled himself as a lamb is led to the slaughter. So the first time Jesus got his hands dirty for humankind, Genesis 2:7, when he created us. The second time that it tells us that he got his hands in the dirt, John chapter number 9, when he healed a blind man. The third time was when he was hung on a cross, his arms outstretched, in front of the entire world, taking on every sin, every burden, everything for us. To provide a better way for us, to provide a better life for us, a life that's eternal. And I want to be like the blind guy. I want to walk up and I want to go, I know what happened. I know that I was blind and now I can see. What do I need to do? How can I better worship you? How can I better serve you? And Jesus just told him, go. And here in a few days, man, you're all's enthusiasm and worship and seeing you guys, Colt and I were talking about it, like the way that you guys come into this chapel has been such like a breath of fresh air for us because we've been part of camps where by Wednesday, everybody's just dragging. And like, we're trying to get that energy up and we're trying to keep that energy going. And you guys are carrying us this week. And I want to see you guys take this outside of here, outside of this camp. And I know that you guys hear this all the time, but it's going to be you guys that impact this world. And it's going to be you all that are leading this world. And it's how you choose to lead them that's going to be the biggest decision. And I'm so excited for you guys. Because you know what? I'm not done. I know Uncle Paul's not done. I know Colt's not done. We've been talking about that. But the reason we're not done is because we know you guys are coming with us, not behind us, but you're coming with us out into this world to combat what's going on and to make a difference for God, to show light to people who've been living in darkness their entire life. And not because of anything they've done, just because it's a broken world and it's a broken relationship. Jesus got his hands dirty so that this guy could have sight. He got my hands, or his hands dirty for me on the cross so that I could receive sight. He's done it for you. And he's done it for somebody. I'll bet the majority of you all, if I said you know somebody outside of this camp that needs Jesus, at least one person has popped into your head. And because that one person has popped into your head, you need to reach out to them. I want to do something a little bit different tonight. Okay? I hope you guys are okay with this. I want you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're at the middle of the week, and I want you guys, just in this moment, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, in this moment I want you to thank him that he opened your eyes, that he removed the veil, that he brought light into your darkness. I want you to pray that God gives you an opportunity to share him with somebody, whether that's here at camp, because you may know somebody that's struggling here. Or pray that even now God begins to prepare somebody when you get home. Camp Tapawingo is a special place, but it's not the only place where God is. So many times we hear from campers, man, if I could just get back to camp, if I could just get back to the excitement of camp. You guys are the excitement of camp. The God that lives inside of you doesn't stay here. He goes with you. My prayer for you is that you're just like that blind guy and you go, how can I worship? What can I do? And Jesus just simply says, go. Go. Tell everybody what happened. Go. So say we're going to do something a little bit different. Literally ask me, is that the right song to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to have Colt lead us in another song. If you want to, go find your counselor, go find a staff member. If you need to pray, if you need to work through something. But I don't want you guys to do this for show right now. I want this to come from a heart of gratitude, and we're not doing gratitude, but I want it to come from a heart of gratitude. I want it to come from a heart that is so driven to worship our Savior that we blow the roof off of this place right now.